Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 388. And at this point, we're in a very critical section of the scriptures that has to do an awful lot with life in Israel, in government, in any aspect of life in terms of the public behavior and the personal behavior, morality, in terms of the judges of the land, in terms of the rulers of the land, and generally speaking, life on this earth has become miserable for many. A lot of oppression, a lot of affliction, a lot of misery for many because of all kind of evils and corruption and lust of the flesh and things like that. And human beings turn against each other instead of the paradise condition that God would have allowed them to have and give them and made possible for them to experience a utopian life had they obeyed the law of Moses. And these three scriptures here are very, very pivotal in this kind of life. And so what we're going to do now, we're going to have a little background on it, because Israel did not obey these scriptures, among others, these statements, these teachings that God gave them, that Jesus Christ gave them through Moses. Obviously, to this very day, we're paying for it. And so, let's read it again, the entirety of the section here, as we began last time. And we're going to begin again from verse 18, and then we will have sort of a little foray into the scriptures from this point, through the prophets, and even through the writings of the disciples, the words of Jesus Christ. And basically, this will give us an idea, in brief, of why is it that we need to desire the kingdom with all of our being and heart. I mean, all of us know it, because life is not what it should be. And that has to do an awful lot with these three scriptures, and as well as others. And so, when Christ appeared on the scene, when he told his people, the kingdom is at hand. You see, why did Israel need the kingdom? They had the kingdom before that. But they rejected the law of Moses, and so they brought a lot of evil consequences on them. And they got to the point where they were in abject poverty, many of them, enslavement, cruelty, tyrants, you know, they were over them, of all sorts, not only Rome, but also their cohorts, including some of their own people, the publicans, that were gouging, you know, them in terms of taxation, and robbing them. And they were being robbed by everyone, everywhere, both in the religious community and the civil community, and so forth. And so God told them, as they came in the flesh, the kingdom of God is at hand. What is it that you need to do? Repent. Repent of what? Well, basically, a transgression against the law of Moses that he gave them earlier. And so, with this in mind, as we read this, you know, this three scriptures here again, as a unit, we'll go through the prophets and the writings and the New Testament, writings of the disciples, and have a sort of a general background. And obviously, there is an awful lot to be said about it, but just to give us a little taste of the end result of disobedience to these three verses that are here, as well as others. And so, in verse 18 again of Deuteronomy, we read, "Judges and officers shall you make you." This is what God is telling them through Moses, the one that came later on in the flesh. He said, "Judges and officers shall you make you in all your gates." And obviously, for what reason do you need them? Well, to make sure that there is justice and judgment in the land, and righteousness, and mercy, and kindness, and truth. You see? That's what it means. So he said, "You do that in all of your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, tribe by tribe, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment." As Jesus Christ told his people when he came in the flesh, this very God that is speaking through Moses, judge a righteous judgment, because they were not doing it. And because of that, iniquity abounds, and the love of many waxes cold, and people turn against each other, and the law of the jungle is all around us, and the whole earth is full of misery and sorrow and pain. You see? Had they just obeyed these three scriptures here, life would have been majestic for all mankind. And so he says, "They shall judge the people with righteous judgment, and you shall not rest judgment, you shall not respect persons, neither shall you take a gift For a gift does blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Justice, justice shall you follow. And in Hebrew, the word for follow is not follow. You know, follow, you just say, somebody walks and you walk in his footsteps, you just follow. The word that is used here is tirdof, which means chase, pursue. You see? And when you pursue, you don't just follow. You see? You run after something. And that's what he's saying here. Justice is something that you have to run after. Pursue it. Get hold of it. Don't let it go. You see? Because people generally snatch it. And you have to run and catch it. You see? And that's it, you know, terminology that he used here. So he said, justice, justice shall you pursue, not follow. That doesn't give you the right connotation there. And he said, why you do it? Why? That you may live. You know, not have a miserable life, but have life. You see, a lot of people don't have a life. All mankind are in affliction. There is corruption everywhere, from government sources, from religious sources, from the civil government or the religious government, doesn't make any difference where you are, from the business community. Everywhere you see lack of justice, lack of judgment, lack of kindness and mercy, lack of truth. You see, lies are everywhere, deception, evil, covetousness, bribes. That's what politics are all about, and politics are everywhere in government, they are in religion, they are in the school system, they are everywhere. Well, what does it mean, politics? Anything but justice, that's what it means. Anything but kindness and truth and light and mercy. You see? Anything but what you read in the scriptures. And so I told them, if you want to have life, you see, you better pursue and chase and, you know, run after it. And catch it and enshrine it, you know, in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul, in your nation, everywhere, in the courts of the land, in the corridors of government and corporate, you know, community, everywhere, in business community, in educational corridors. And people are not doing it. And so instead of that, what do they have? Chaos and confusion. And that's the reason why, among others, Christ comes on the scene, you know, besides paying the penalty of sin for all mankind, he tells them, okay, the kingdom of God is at hand, but you have to repent. Stop doing what you are doing. And start obeying the law of Moses that I gave you a long time ago. You see? And because of that disobedience, you are in the mess that you are in here. I need to come and bail you out. Because you did not pursue justice. You did not run after it. You see? And there was no mercy in the land. And no truth. So, you know, these words that are here encompass a whole world. There is so much to be said about it. And in essence, all the prophets, what were they all about? Basically, they came and decried all the evils that were committed in the land because they would not obey the law of Moses, because they would not obey the scriptures here as well as others. And so he tells them, justice, justice. You see the emphasis that God puts on it. You shall follow, you shall pursue, chase after it. Embrace it. Hold it dearly to you. You see, in your heart. Don't give it up. Don't let people in of evil, base nature take over. You see? And bring utter destruction on everything. And misery and suffering and curses. So it says, you do that so that you may have life, that you may live. And inherit the land which the Lord your God gives you. You see? And it's because they did not pursue justice and judgment and mercy and kindness and righteousness and all that. You see, they experienced crime in the land and war and bloodshed and oppression and affliction and exile and captivities and sorrow and pain. And they do to this very day. You see, that's one of the reasons why there is an awful lot of misery in the land of Israel today. Because the land is not full of justice and judgment and mercy and kindness and truth. There's corruption everywhere, you see, just like in the days when Jesus Christ appeared on the scene, just like in the days when the prophets were there admonishing the people, exhorting the people, pleading with the people to turn back from their evil deeds. And so, because of that, as you read in the scripture, there is no peace to the wicked When there is wickedness in the land, there isn't going to be any peace in the land, either from outside enemies or inside. And a lot of people don't realize that. That's the reason why all these troubles are here. So let's have a little background here in terms of what God recorded, just to give us a little taste of what happens when these three scriptures here, as well as others, are not obeyed. The time came when Israel was in the land. You know, they should have been in Utopia. God was the ruler of Israel. He was the king of Israel. He delivered them when they obeyed him. And though we read in the book of Judges, they've done anything but that, mostly. And then when they got in real deep trouble, because there was no justice in their midst, no judgment, no mercy, no worship of God, no knowledge of God, you see an awful lot of evils you can read in the book of Judges. And he had to step in again and again and again and deliver them. And when they were in trouble, they cried to him. Well, now they get to the point where they have Samuel, who is a righteous one, and the one before him was not. Unfortunately, Eli was not a very righteous man as he should have been. And he allowed his sons, who were so bad and corrupt and evil, they were not seeking justice, no judgment, no truth, no mercy. And so people got sick and tired of that, and they cried to God, and then God raised Samuel, and he was a righteous man. But his sons were not, unfortunately, and so people got sick and tired again of that. And they themselves were not behaving as they should have been. So they come to Samuel at a certain point of his life when he's old, as we read here in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. And verse 3, but his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Just like, you know, these statements are saying, if you have justice, if you have people who are judging righteously with not taking bribes, you're going to have life. Yeah, you're going to stay in the land. But they weren't doing it. And so obviously the nation was at arms. They didn't like it. And so the elders of Israel, we read in verse 4, gathered together and they came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you are old, you see, can't do us much good. And your sons do not walk in your ways. What's the solution? Not repentance. Not turning to God. Not asking Him for help and deliverance. No, the solution was, now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. You see? That's what some people say. You know, when they see a problem, they say, well, there's got to be a law. You see? And after that, they're clobbered by law to death. And then they complain. There is too much oppression in the land. They go from one extreme to the other. And obviously Samuel was not happy with it, and so he prayed to God, and he pleaded with him, you know, to help him in that. Well, these are the words of God in verse 7. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you. Why? He says to him, you better remember that, because Samuel apparently forgot, for they have not rejected you. Samuel thought that they were rejecting him. He said, they didn't reject you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. That was the issue. You see? And that's the issue here with these three scriptures. If people fear God, obey His voice, obey the words of Moses, obey the law of Moses, you see, and allow God to reign in their midst through His law, life would be wonderful for them, and they would live a long time in the land. And so the problem here was not only the evil rulers that they had over them, the sons of Samuel, but they themselves were not interested in having God reign over them. So they didn't come to Samuel and say, look, you know, we want judges who are righteous, just like you. Please ask God, you know, to raise some of those or whatever. Do something about it. Now instead of that, let's forget about God. You know, we're just sick and tired of, you know, of these evil people, of religion, of God, of everything, you know. That's the way people generally behave. They go from one extreme to the other. And that's what God is saying. That was the issue here. They rejected me, not you. He says, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing, you know, to you also. So don't feel bad about it personally. It's me that they don't like. It's the law that I give them. You see, and a lot of people become self-righteous when things go wrong and say, well, there's got to be a law about it. And they don't look at the mirror to see their own actions, their own deeds, and what they do to each other. And so they think the solution is, we want government, we want Big Brother. We want somebody, you know, to hang around, you know, with a club, and when somebody does something wrong, you know, we want him, you know, clubbed to death or whatever, just crushed or taken care of or put in jail or whatever. But they don't look at their own behavior. In other words, the nation as a whole was not obedient to the law of Moses. They were not keeping the scripture that we just read in mind and in heart. They were not obedient to it. And so the consequences were everywhere. And in essence, the two rulers, the sons of Samuel, they were just reflecting in essence the nation. The whole nation was corrupt. So they too, you know, they followed the pattern. And they too became corrupt just like them. And since they had power, just like today, have politicians, they've got the power. They live in a nation that is full of corruption everywhere, even though they may go up there in Washington, D.C., or the state capital of any state in the United States. You know, they want to do good. Well, to begin with, they didn't begin their life properly, you see, and so they end up there. But even if they had good intentions and good ideas there, whatever it may be, goodwill, they end up in a system that is utterly corrupt, and they all become corrupt. And so that's what was happening here. The whole nation was at fault. That's what God is saying here. Mind you, yes, you know, the sons of Samuel were not righteous. They were doing evil. But at this point, God doesn't put the blame on them, even though they were guilty. He says the real problem is the people. You see? Generally, people get what they deserve in terms of rulers, because the rulers basically reflect them. If the people are righteous, the leaders would be too. If the leaders are righteous, the people would be too. And the leaders were produced by the people. You see? The people are reflecting the leadership, and the leadership reflects the people. And it's all one problem. Nobody can blame somebody else. We all have to look in the mirror, and this is where we find another real picture. And that's what God is saying to them. They rejected me, and they've been always evil from the day that I brought them out of Egypt. So don't take it personally. Verse 9, it says, now therefore heed their voice, however, ye shall solemnly forewarn them, that protest, you know, and I warn them, admonish them, and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. In other words, you think that you want a king, and things are going to get better? You know, you're going to have, you know, there ought to be a law, take care of these kind of things? Well, let me tell you something about it, because you have not considered that. Any human being who is not God, who is not perfect and holy and righteous, who does not seek justice, who is not like me, is only after one thing and one thing only. Selfish interests. You see? And that's what he's telling them. He's warning them against it. And so Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, this will be... So he's telling them now what God told him to tell them about the king. What does it mean to have a king? What does it mean to have Big Brother? What does it mean to have bureaucracy? This is what they were after, thinking that things are going to get better. You see, instead of the law of God, instead of just abiding by the law of God, by the law of Moses, and then when everybody does, everybody's doing well. You see, so they thought, well, no, we need a different solution. We need another program. We need another this, another that, another plan. You see, we need a new person to be elected to this office, and then everything is going to be all right. We need a new president. We need a new governor. We need a new whatever, you know, congressman, senator, you know, new mayor. That's the way people always think. Anything but to go to God, anything but to obey the law of God, and everything will go well with them. They're not willing to do that. So all of us are guilty in that. And that's what he's telling them there. Okay, that's kind of a life we're going to have from now on. And he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take. You see? Take. The government takes. Our government doesn't give. What they give is what they stole from you to begin with, or took from you. You see? So it's not really real giving. But he said, this is the nature of government by men, not by God. The nature of the government of God is giving. The nature of the government of men, because it does not abide by the law of Moses, is get, take. So this is what he's going to repeat here, the theme and the pattern and the nature of government, of Big Brother, of bureaucracy. You see? He said, This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen. He's not going to ask you. He's going to just take them. Uncle Sam wants you. And Sam will run before his chariots. Selfish. He will appoint captains over his thousands. Pretty soon he's going to have thousands. Where he's going to get them. He's going to take them from your sons and daughters. And captains over his fifties, and will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war, the weapon industry, and equipment for his chariots. He got the whole army. And the hundreds of billions of dollars, trillions of billions of dollars that have been wasted on armed forces instead of asking God for safety and protection and walking in righteousness to begin with, and there would be no need for any of that. Israel didn't need to fight Egypt. God took care of that. They didn't spend a penny on defense, on, safety and deliverance from Egypt. Think about it. So he says, okay, you want man-made solutions? That's what you're going to get. And so he's going to do that. He's going to put you into the weapon industry. The budget for the armed forces in many nations is much bigger than anything else, or many things, that they need all put together. Verse 13, he will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. Not only your sons, he's coming after your daughters too. And he will take the best of your fields. That's what government does. Much of the land of this country is owned by the government, and that's contrary to the law of God. And yet, God says, that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. And he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. That's what politics is all about. Take from everybody and give it to the selfish interests. We don't need to amplify that too much. All of us know an awful lot about that, what's happening in the land. And every given land on the face of the earth, the government takes as much as it can, and people in authority, and they give it to their own cousins and relatives and friends and selfish interests and all kind of things like that, and they impoverish the people. What's new? Verse 15, he will take the tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. Well, at least he's humble here in today's terms, only 10%. Well, government doesn't take only 10%. You end up paying one way or the other about 50% of your salary. You're a slave of the government. And it's getting worse and worse all the time. Even though they give you now and then, to deceive you that they are good, a little bit back. Tax cuts, they call it. It's anything but that. When you turn around, you realize that you're in a deeper hole than you were before that, because they get you from many other ways. And so he says he will take a tenth. And mind you, God demanded the tenth to be given to the priesthood and Levites, who were supposed to do an awful lot of things for Israel. And that should have been enough for Israel, because they were supposed to be the judges and rulers and all that. So what need was there for a king? Well, on top of that, now God says you're going to have to pay another 10% there. And kings being kings, human beings, are not going to end up with 10%. They're going to get as much as they can. Who's going to stop them if they're not righteous? At least partially righteous and obedient to this law that God set in motion here, where government should take only 10%. That's why now and then some politicians say, well, okay, let's charge everybody 10% across the board. That's it, period. And everybody's doing well. Well, they're not interested in doing that, because government is corrupt to the core by nature. That's the nature of government, because it is governed by human beings who have human nature, who are not abiding by the law of Moses. They're not of the kind of people that God describes here in these three verses that we read here. In Deuteronomy 16, verses 18 to 20. And so this is what we read here. He will take the tenth of your grain and of your vintage, and give it to his officers and servants. And you might say, well, that's only the beginning. And after that, it's going to go higher and higher. Verse 16, and he will take your male servants, your female servants, even the people that you have there that serve you, he's going to take them from you. Your finest young men, not just young men, your finest young men, the best, the youth, take them away from you and put them, into his own service. See, the military is just one of them. and your donkeys, you see, not only your servants, but your transportation too. And take your donkeys too. And put them to his work. That's the nature of a king, nature of government, nature of big brother, nature of bureaucracy. And he will take a tenth of your sheep, you see, your animals too, and you will be his servants. And that's the way you're going to end up. Not my servants, the servants of God who gives you everything, heaven and earth, all blessings, life. Now you're going to be a servant of a man, of a bureaucracy, of government, of the system. You're going to be slaves. That's what he said. And that's what we are. And that's what we have been since that time. Because we have chosen to reject the law of Moses. And we chose instead our own ways. And so this is what he says here. And then verse 18. And you will cry out in that day because of your king, big brother, you know, bureaucracy. You know, like over 200 years ago, the people of this land were crying because of the oppression of King George. You know, the description of this one, and far worse than that, because that's the way human beings tended to be, if they did not fear God, you see. And they cried out, and they finally had deliverance, and they had independence. And then what happened? Time went by, and things got worse and worse and worse, and here we are again. We're paying today so much more taxes than King George ever demanded. And we're in a much worse condition than even at that time. Why? Because we continue in the same pattern. We're not willing to repent. We want the kingdom of God, but we're not willing to repent. People are saying, you know, we believe in God, we believe in Christ, but we are not willing to repent and abide by the law of Moses, which is the law of Christ. And so he said, you're going to cry out in that day, you know, and eat your heart out, so to speak, cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. People think, well, that's democracy. Hey, I can vote. I can vote anybody I want into office. And in our foolishness and delusions, we don't realize what we are doing. We're voting a taskmaster. Somebody who's going to do his own thing as soon as he gets into office. I couldn't care less about people at that point. And they'll be as corrupt as they can be and get away with anything as they can be. As they can, you see. And rob us blind. And that's the way it is. God says that's what you have chosen. He said you will cry out at that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. You're going to have to pay the penalty to the full until you learn, until it comes out of your nose. You don't want a human government. You don't want human law. You do not want programs and plans and all kind of things like that. Nothing is going to solve your problems until you come back and remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I gave unto all of Israel in Horeb and all the statutes and judgments. Because ultimately, if you don't, God says, I'm going to bring utter destruction on the whole earth. So this is a warning not only to Israel, and we in the United States, at least the people that, you know, that are descendants of Israel, you see, those who came from either Northwestern Europe, the English, you know, people, the British people, you see, and obviously Judah, one of the tribes of Israel. These are all Israelites. We're not talking about the others that joined us here in this land or any other land of Israel. You see, all of us are paying the penalty because of that, because we have rejected Moses. And God is speaking to all of us. And until we are ready to get on our knees and turn back to Him with all of our being and heart, not put our trust anymore in man. That's what God said. Cursed be the man that puts his trust in man. And that's what they were asking here. Give us a man to rule over us. And God is telling them, you're going to be cursed, not blessed. It doesn't make any difference whether they have democracy, a monarchy, or any form of government. Nothing works. And that's why, in essence, the fathers of the Constitution, who understood these things and read these very words and had a greater measure of righteousness in them and did not overlord it over the people, at least for quite a while, you see, got worse after that. As a matter of fact, many of them, you know, did not even get a paycheck. Like George Washington, you know, he went and did his job of government, then went home. Nobody paid him a penny. They were totally different people. because they were abiding by the law of God, at least to the degree that they understood it. And they were saying, without the Bible, it is impossible to govern a nation. What are they talking about? This is exactly the very thing that we are reading here. Unless we come under the law of God. And that's why the motto of the nation was government of the people, for the people, by the people, under God. And people have forgotten that. That God gives us, you see, His laws. He reigns in our lives through His laws. And then He allows us, as He said here, to have our own judges, our own officers. He says, you elect them in essence, you see. Judges and officers shall you make you in all of your gates. And nothing wrong with democracy. Nothing wrong with any form of government on the face of the earth if it is governed by the law of God. That's exactly what the statement was all about. Yes, it's okay to have a government of the people, for the people, by the people, but under God, if it's not under God, you see, it's going to be what we find today. There's going to be some good in it, yes, but an awful lot of evil. And a lot of people are going to benefit from it, who become a part of the system, you see, but the majority are going to suffer from it. And it's going to be a bag that is, mixed with good and evil, but more and more evil, unfortunately, than good. And so this is what he told them. You can cry all you want after that. You see? He said, I'm not going to hear you, and you're going to be stuck with this form of government until the kingdom comes, until I come back. As Jesus Christ said, you're not going to hear me, you're not going to see me again, he said to Jerusalem, he said to Israel, in essence, he said to the whole earth, until you are ready to say, blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. That's what it means. Save us. Save us from what? From ourselves. You see? From the nature that is in us. From the corruption that is in us. From the rebellion against your law. And from those that rose to reign over us because of that. You know? Or abuse us. That's what he's saying here. So he said, the Lord will not hear you in that day, and he still does until this very day, and you can cry all you want. You know, now and then he still shows mercy, in essence, by giving the ability for the people of the United States to overcome, you see, their own cousins, you know, the British, at that time. You know, he was listening to the voice of people who were obedient to a certain degree to the law of God, were more honest people. And so he heard them, but still, look what happened after that. We're back in a much worse condition later on as time went by. And the land is full of evil, just as ever, and so much more so than ever before. And so he said, the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, but we will have a king over us. We want Big Brother. We want bureaucracy. You see? We want somebody to clobber us. That's in essence what they were saying. And abuse us. And it is very pathetic that the people of God feel that way. We should know better because they've been given a law. You know, at least they know the race of the nations of the earth. You know, they don't know anything about that. In that sense, God didn't deal with them, didn't reveal to himself, you know, to them, that is His glorious law, His glorious Torah. You know, so all they know is whatever they know, you see. But the people of God should have known better. And so here it is. God is offering them a way out, deliverance. Samuel is pleading with them not to do that, not to go this route. And so they would not obey him. They refused. And that's in the nature, unfortunately, of men. They want to do their own thing. You know, little children are that way. As soon as they discover they've got their own brain, their own mind, they want to do their own thing. They don't want to listen to anybody. And teenagers, you know, as they get older, they get even much worse. You see, until they learn the hard lessons and they want to turn around and behave themselves. That's the nature, unfortunately, of Israel, the people of God, and for that matter, all mankind. And, you know, the prophet Jeremiah spoke about that in chapter 5. He says, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, speaking by the religious leaders, and people like that. They don't realize that. He says, the prophets, the leaders of Israel, the spiritual leaders of Israel, for that matter, any leaders of Israel, you know, they speak lies. That's what they say about politicians. As soon as they open their mouth, you know that whatever comes out of their mouth is not going to be truth. You see? And even when it is truth, it is covered and layered you see, and infested with some lies here and there. It's not all perfect purity of truth. And so the leaders of Israel, the prophets of Israel, prophesy falsely, and the priests, you know, the religious authorities, they rule by their own power. Not the power of God, not the authority of God, which is authority of love and kindness and mercy and justice and righteousness. No, they rule by their own power, and that's what the religion has been all this time. And that's why the majority of people despise religion and despise, you know, the clergy. As God says, you know, to the clergy, I'm going to make you base in the sight of the people. And they became that way because they abused the people and caused people to abhor it, just like in the days of Samuel where his sons were abusing the people. And people said, who on earth needs that kind of religion? We don't want that, and we don't want God either. And so, that's how people became secular, because of abuse by the religious leaders. And that's why also people become, you know, disenchanted. They will not even vote when they can in this country or many other places. They're sick and tired of government. You know, they're all liars, thieves, and robbers to one degree or the other. None of them is pure, totally pure. Because by the mere fact that you are part of the system, you're going to do a lot of corrupt things. You know, scratch your back, scratch my back, and so forth, and bribes, and all that. You know, those kind of things that happen. So I said, the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. What an indictment on all. But what will you do in the end? You see? How is it going to end up if you're going to continue that way? That's why God says, unless you remember the law of Moses, my servant, you see, my servant, and remember, for that matter, all the prophets and all the disciples later on that came, the apostles, I'm going to bring utter destruction on you. You see, you become good for nothing. And so that's what Samuel tells them. They don't listen. They want to go their own way. They want to do their own thing. You see? And so they pay the penalty, when we pay the penalty, to this very day. And we all know the story, what happened. Now, when we go to the King David, the king that was a righteous man, a shepherd, a true shepherd, and he was certainly far more righteous than Saul, even though he had some problems here and there. But still, he followed God with all of his being and heart, and he repented whenever he had done evil. And God held only that sin against him, the sin of Bathsheba and murder, as horrible as it was. But he repented, Saul never did. Other leaders don't, you see. And that's why David was a man according to God's own heart. You see, he makes some mistakes, he realizes that, he turns around, and he does right. And King David, who was chosen by God as a role model for all the kings of Israel, and he always measured everyone by the righteousness of King David. Either he walked in the ways of David, or he did not. You see, and he was righteous as David or not. And so King David was saying, in terms of government, in terms of the scriptures that we are reading here, we're reading in 2 Samuel chapter 23. Now these are the last words of David. Thus says David the son of Jesse, thus says the man raised up on high, you know, by God, because he was fit to be a shepherd, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. This is what he's saying here. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me. And we covered that before that. What does it mean, the Spirit of the Lord? He's speaking about God. You see, the direct God that he had, the direct deity that was over him, that's the one that became Jesus Christ, the one that married Israel. And he was, you know, that Spirit of the Lord. The Lord is the Father, and the Spirit is Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me. You see? And his word, you see, the Spirit of that Spirit of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ, his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, you see, the Rock of Israel spoke to me. So he's making it very plain. It's all from God, not from man, not my own mind. And this is what God said. He who rules over men must be just. And if you're not a just man, according to the law of Moses, you have no business being an authority in government, any form of government, at any level of society. Because otherwise you're going to corrupt and be a bad influence, and do harm. And when the time comes, God is coming after you. Whatever your name is, you're a woman or a man, doesn't make any difference. God knows your number, your thoughts, your feelings and emotions. There is no escape from Him and His wrath and His judgment, no, not even in the grave. Because He's going to resurrect you and you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, of the God of Israel. And you're going to answer for all of your wickedness and all the evils that you've committed in your lifetime, especially being in a position of authority where God holds those of us who are in authority the most responsible. That's what James says, don't be many masters, speaking about the ministry, but for that matter, anybody, any kind of masters, that is, you know, a ruler in government, in authority, whatever it may be. He says, because we are going to receive the greater condemnation. And so David is saying, this is what God is saying. He that rules over men must. It's not a choice. You must be just. And that's what the scripture says. Justice, justice you shall pursue with passion. Not money, not covetousness, not power, but justice. A lot of people in the beginning of the nation of the United States were willing to give their life for it. And they did. You see? And they didn't do it for the corruption that this nation became later on. Had they known what this nation would have turned to be, none of them would have done it. You see? But that's what happened to all of us, unfortunately, because men of base nature took over. Took over. What does it mean, took over? You see? Well, people say, you know, well, they just took over. You know, and in many nations we read about a coup and people took over. What does it mean, took over? You see, King Saul didn't take over. The nation was rebellious against the law of God. And God says, okay, that's what you want. That's what you get. And that's in essence what happens in every nation. People don't realize that what is really happening. They think that it just happened. You know, it's just an election. You know, somebody is up, somebody is down. It doesn't work like that. King Nebuchadnezzar had to learn that the hard way when God made an animal out of him before he learned the lesson. And this is what you read in Daniel chapter 4. That's what he told the king. He said, verse 17, this decision, you know, about the punishment he's going to bring upon Nebuchadnezzar, making him the beast of the field until he learns that he is not big boss. God is. You see, he was abusing his authority. And God was going to teach him a lesson and through him all mankind. And he left it, you know, as an example there to be recorded. And God continually deals with all leaders on the face of the earth. They don't realize it. They think that, you know, there is no God. He says, this decision is by the decree of the watchers, speaking by the holy angels, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living at any given generation, you see, in order that the living may know that the Most High, speaking by the Father, El Elyon, the Father of Jesus Christ, rules in the kingdom of men. It's not a handoff policy. He doesn't rule all the way, that's true. But he's not totally out of the business either. You know, some people think that he just created the world and just took off. He's on vacation. Oh, no. He said the living should know from this example of Nebuchadnezzar and many other examples that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. Based on the behavior of the people, if they are behaving themselves, they are righteous, he gives them a good leader. If they are not, he gives them a lousy one. And that's how he takes care of them. And so he gives it to whomsoever he will. That's how elections are being decided, not by the voters, not by the coup d'etat. Ultimately, God orchestrates all these things, and people are going to find that out one of these days. If they don't know it yet. And so God gives it to whomsoever He will, and He sets over it the lowest or the basest of men. When does He do it? When the people are base. When they themselves are low lives, so to speak. You know, some people say you are low life. When they don't behave themselves, God gives them a taste of their own medicine. You see? And people don't realize that. If you have good presidents or good rulers or good prime ministers or good kings or whatever it may be, or good government, it's because you are behaving yourself. And God sees to it that you get the good ones. And to begin with, if you behave yourself, you are producing this kind of leaders. But if we do not behave ourselves, we produce evil leaders, and God allows those to rise, not the good ones, to, so to speak, suck it to us. And that's the way it works. You see? And King David says that, in essence, if a nation is righteous, the leaders are going to be righteous, and he gives an instruction to all, speaking about his own sons, obviously, his own dynasty, and for that matter, God recorded that, Jesus Christ recorded that. It's a rule of thumb for all those who are in authority. If you're going to rule over men, first, you must be just. That's the first quality God wants to see in you. Yet, that's not what people are electing any official for office. This is not for the reason why they look for a person like that. You know, just, they're going to do my own bidding. Selfish. Everything is selfish on the part of the voters and on the part of the politicians. Now, is it just? Is it right in the sight of God? Is he going to do righteousness? Is he going to obey the law of Moses, the law of the Lord, the law of Christ? You see, the law of the God of heaven and earth, the law of the Creator. That's not the way we think. And so he says, he who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. That's the only way you're going to rule. That's what it means, government of the people, for the people, by the people, under God. And when you remove God from the picture, what do you have left? Anarchy. That's what democracy is all about. Everybody does that which is right in his own sight. Well, we shall continue next time. Again, this is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until the next lesson.